Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Wine Time with Peggy show, featuring Peggy Fiandaca, who along with her winemaker husband, Kurt Lawrence Dunham, owns and operates LDV Winery in Arizona. Well, happy spring, everybody. We're excited to talk about wine and spring. I mean, I think the two go hand in hand, but then again, I would say wine day is every day. It's Wine Wednesday, which means it's time to chat with Peggy Fiandaca. It is Wine Time with Peggy. Welcome back, Peggy. How are you?
Hi, Lisa. I'm great. I'm happy that it's springtime. I love this time of year.
I think it's my favorite. In all honesty, I think this is my favorite time of year because I'm not good with cold. But there's this thing about renewal. It's exciting to see the new growth come in, you know, everywhere, green grass and wildflowers, depending on where you are. How is the vineyard? That's my first thing is, what does it look like now? Is there green, or little baby, that, you know, that new green color? I get giddy about it. I get a little weird.
Right. I do too. I mean, it's the exciting part of the beginning of the growing season, when right now we have sap flowing. Tell you a little story. Our worker was out in the vineyard doing the last pruning, and he came to Kurt and he goes, the vines, they're crying. And Kurt goes, crying? What? And he went out there and it was the beginning of the sap flowing. So that's, we had to explain to him what that was and that they were coming to life and beginning to weep, you know. We cracked up. The vines were crying a little bit.
Oh, that's sweet though, isn't it? That's like, yeah, a sweet sentiment when you think about, you know, it's like, oh yes, they're crying with joy that winter's over. I'm alive.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the vineyard is starting to come alive, and actually we're beginning to get bud break, which the little leaves are starting to pop out, and it's the beginning of the growing season. So once you have bud break, we're about 4 months to harvest of at least the white Viognier, and then 5 months to begin harvesting our red. So now's the time that we have to watch out for a late frost, and hopefully the weather continues to stay warm, because this is a little bit early for us to have bud break. And so we just have to keep our fingers crossed and hope Mother Nature is nice to us for the next little bit.
I feel like you need to have like tubs and tubs and tubs of blankets to cover the babies.
I know, it's kind of scary. And as you know, we're going to be planting here in, in April. So we're excited about getting our 1,200 vines coming. So all the holes are ready for them, and we're excited about planting this month.
How do they come? Because, you know, I have a friend the other day, and I've got the giggles. She ordered a bunch of roses and thinking, I don't know what she thought. And they came in their bare root bags. And she's like, I just got a bunch of sticks. And she actually called the company and said, you sent me sticks. Like, and anyway, it's a learning curve. And so she's learning. And so I'm like, no, that's how they come. This is like the bare root season. That's the best way to plant them, not middle of the season while they've got flowers. That's not exactly, you can, but this is, it's the same thing when you buy trees. A lot of times they're little sticks. So is that what it's like for you guys? Is there growth, or do you get the little bare root sticks?
We get the little sticks. So when they come over from our nursery in California, and we actually take those sticks basically, and we put them in B12 for a couple of days, which is a root stimulator. And we also, as I talked about previously, we dug all the 1,200 holes for those vines. And so we've been, right before we begin to plant, we pre-irrigate those holes so that they're very, the soil is very wet. And then we plant them, just those little sticks in the ground.
Wow, but you gave them a B12 shot. but it's not like what we have to get as humans. We don't want those B12 shots out. So, but this is really cool that you're doing that. So it kind of leads me to the word of the day.
The word of the day.
Is that kind of connected, right?
Absolutely. And it's connected to your friend who just got her roses, her bare root roses. So same as with any kind of bare root plant, particularly compared from grapevines and roses. You know, you choose the root stock specifically for your location. So us in Southern Arizona, we have a certain root stock that is perfect for our area. Same with our rose garden. When we buy bare root roses, it's specifically for our area in southeastern Arizona. And what you do is you graft the producer vine to that rootstock. So in another term is scion, which is another name for the producer vine. And the producer vine is a Syrah or Grenache or Cabernet Sauvignon. And that scion gets grafted to the rootstock. And basically what we do is make a cut in the rootstock, and you put the scion or the producer vine into it, tie it up, make it strong. And then and when that heals, that where that cut was made, when it heals, which for a grapevine, it's about a year before that actually is sealed and strong, and that becomes a viable vine. And that's what's been happening with all of the grapevines that we're getting this month, is they've been in California in the nursery becoming a viable grapevine before they ship it here. And so then when we put that little stick, I mean, it's basically about that big. We put that stick in the ground and we put a grow tube over it. And it's about a 30-inch grow tube that then protects it from little animals and the wind.
Oh, so that's what you see, those little white tubes when you drive through vineyards. You're always going like little babies. Are they little tree babies? I think they do them with trees too.
Yeah, I think they do too. So it's a what we call a grow tube. And we keep that on for about a year on that little vine, protecting it from animals and protecting it from the wind in our area. So to allow it get established and start growing. And then it'll start growing out of that grow tube even the first year.
So what's interesting about this for folks to really, again, understand the life of winemaking, of the winemakers, is like the amount of patience, which, you know, that's why we all have to have wine. That makes the world go round. Hey, listen, April is National Stress Awareness Month. So I'm just saying, drink some wine at the end of the day, you know, according to what your doctor says you're allowed to do.
And in April, it's a very stressful month for growers, because it's so, you know, we can have a crop destroyed by a late frost. So it's a stressful month.
So you get these babies that could come right at this time. Yeah. You could have a meeting of the worlds that you don't want. But for people to understand, like, the amount of time it takes. Now, you can't just make wine with these babies. You have to actually let them become an adult first, you know. So right now they're going to have to go through their preteens, and then this next year they'll become teenagers and then ready to become adults next year for winemaking, or
probably 2 years before we'll get any before they're really producing anything. 2, maybe even 3 years. And the difficult part, because what we are doing is we're doing the skips in a row, you know. We're replanting where vines have died over time. So the difficulty, these guys are going to have a hard time getting established, because they're going to be next to very mature vines. And of course, the mature vines have a lot of canopy development to them. And so those little vines next to a very big full vine has a hard time getting sun, you know, because they're overshadowed by the canopy. So we have to do some careful pruning to allow that new vine get established and be able to have some success and growth.
But that's kind of like life, isn't it? You have to be amongst your elders, and your elders will take precedent over you while you're young. So they're stealing the spotlight for a little longer than you want when you're young, right?
Good analogy. Very good analogy.
Yeah, it's kind of like we're going to be here, but they get to grow up in the arms of the elders who will tell them,
correct,
if you want sun, you need to turn your little roots this way, you know, stick your little line out there, you know, put your turn this way, do that. So I kind of, you know, I'm weird. If I had a winery, I'd be out there talking to the plants all the time.
Whatever it takes is what our motto. Nothing is off the table. We need to protect those vines.
Yeah. And Earth Day is coming up in April, April 22nd, which I know we're going to talk about. You guys have so many things happening at Scottsdale at the tasting room in Scottsdale. And for new listeners, the winery itself is in Southeast Arizona, about 45 minutes outside of Wilcox and right outside Chiricahua National Monument and Fort Bowie National. Fort Bowie is like a national historical park. It's really fascinating history. But I mean, this is an area to visit and explore, go wine tasting, go on a hike. I mean, it's just a lot of history, Wild West history. I could talk about that for days, but two different things going on. But Earth Day, I just wanted to give a touch of what you guys do as a sustainable winery, because you are a vegan winery. And I think that's a very important thing for folks to know about.
Yes, thank you. Earth Day is our way of celebrating what we do at LBB Winery, because we grow the highest quality grapes, and we only do that by protecting the land that they are planted in. So we do very careful in our soil preservation. We're constantly, four times a year, we're doing soil analysis to make sure that our soils are rich and have the right nutrients in it. We don't add animal products, manure, onto our vineyard, because you will have residual animal products in the wine, and we don't want that. So we're very organic in how we make sure that our vine is managed. And we don't do any kind of spraying or anything like that that might have residual in the wine. And then once we get those beautiful grapes that we grow into the winery, we don't want to mess them up. You know, we have quality grapes, so we're going to we don't have any additives. So our wines are, like you said, vegan. They're gluten-free. There's zero residual sugar. There are no additives. They're just really pure wine. So we do add some sulfites, but we're below the national average. Sulfites are a preservative. But they're great.
And they're fabulous. I do have to ask, how is our friend the Viognier that we got to taste in the different barrels? They're aging in the barrels. When does that come out? When's the birthing of the Viognier?
Well, we did, Kurt and I had a final testing of
this. Is the hard part of being winemakers.
Correct. So we sat around and drank different kind of formulas, basically, of Viognier. And it's not quite ready. They weren't playing nice together. And we did not feel it was quite ready yet. So we're going to wait another month and try it again. They were nice. They were fine. But they weren't LDV yet. They weren't showcasing the level of LDV that characteristics that we want.
Well, it's interesting because I remember, I think it was Kurt, actually, who said, this is a May. This is going to be May.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's Mother's Day.
I think he's correct. So we're holding off. We're going to try it again here in a couple weeks and see if they're playing nice again.
Well, you know, like I said, Mother's Day, it could be a mother and daughter, and they play nice.
Correct.
And sometimes they're like, wait, I'm not ready. Yes, you are. No, I'm not.
Yeah, but
get ready.
As you know, Kurt will not release a wine before it's time. It
Well, you
has to
guys
be.
have the best wines.
Thank you. Thank
You
you. I
have the best
appreciate that.
wines.
Yeah, we have
You
fun with
know we
it.
love
So.
your wine. And
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I think it's that patience and to be able to afford the patience, right? That's
Right.
the thing that we're talking about and the stress that goes with it. And it's like, okay, we've got this, but it's not, you can't push it out when it's not ready. You
Right.
know, we don't like that.
We
It's
don't like that either. Yeah, we don't
no.
like that either. But so up at Scottsdale, we're introducing this fun new event, which is a mixed media collage making. And I don't know about you, I just loved making collages as a kid. And then I continue to make collages, like, because I'm a very visual person. So I like vision boards and developing. When I wanted to make a big decision in my life and didn't know how to really make it, I did a vision board to help clarify what I was looking for in a new change in a job or whatever in my life. And so it's similar to that. So we're having an Earth Day mixed media collage making, and I have this great artist, actually the gal that developed our logo and our image for LDD Winery. She's going to lead everyone to develop these beautiful collages using words and images and colors and so on, and everyone can create their Earth Day collage that they can go home and frame, and they're really beautiful. So we're doing that
Oh,
on
that's
Earth
fun.
Day. Yeah.
I love that. So, you know, speaking of your logo, that gives me the opportunity to ask you to tell everybody about the logo because it is cool and it does represent some amazing attributes for the winery.
Right. So our logo has three intertwined circles on our logo. And the first circle is honoring the ancient peoples that were on our land thousands of years ago and were the first farmers, because we find evidence of that with the matates that we found on our property, which are stone grinders, and they're museum quality. I have six of those. And then the second circle is us being as gentle as we are with our growing practices. You know, we're not organic because I've never gone through the process of us of being certified organic, but whereas we could be if I went through the effort and paid the money to do that, but we're not. And then the third circle is us turning that beautiful raw product into wine, and everything, the byproducts of that winemaking process go back into the earth. So our tagline is Earth's fruits come full circle. We hope that we're so gentle with our grape growing that 1,000 years from now, 100 years from now, if someone doesn't want to grow grapes on our property, our land could beautifully go back to its natural state because we haven't harmed it in any way. So we're
That's
just very,
awesome.
very stewardship of the land is very important ethic for us.
I think it's a big deal because, well, it's just big for who's drinking the wine. You're helping that, right? But the land,
Yep.
you know, Nancy and I mean, that's what we do is we travel and we visit the parks across the country and wineries as we do it. But you know, your neighbor of Chiricahua National Monument and
Right.
Fort Bowie and your neighbor to other farms and land. And I mean, when Nancy and I came out to the actual winery itself, and everyone, you can do that by appointment and it's a process, but it's worth it. Going there, I mean, we saw deer and quail and roadrunners and a bear in Chiricahua, you know, National
Yeah.
Monument. And so to me, what you do in agriculture with water and things like that, and how, you know, what is sprayed on, you know, vegetation, right? The vineyard, that kind of thing affects what is going on in your neighbors as well.
Right.
It affects the waterways, it affects the birds, it affects all these different things. So when, you know, a winery goes, okay, we're gonna, you know, cultivate this land, but we're gonna do it with the earth first, you know, and honoring those of the past, the ancestral people. I think that's a special and important thing, and also you're leading by example, leading, you know, the region in that too, in, you know, and showing people that it can be done. So I really appreciate that a lot, because I know that you're being a friend to your neighbors, whether it's a park or another person, you know.
Right.
That's good.
Thank you for recognizing that, because we're all connected. It's all connected. And that's, you know, that's why our Earth's Fruits Come Full Circle is so important to us, because we recognize the connection we have to the land, but the connection we have to the wildlife. Little groundhog things drive us nuts because they love to get to the roots. But if we poison them, then we have incredible raptors and owls and everything else that eat those little guys. And then I'm poisoning those important birds that are critical to managing that population. So it's all connected. What we do in the vineyard also will impact the wildlife, will impact the water, will impact the soils, which we need to care about our soils worldwide, because they're being destroyed. And if we don't have the quality soils, it's going to have incredible impact on us as a species. That's a whole nother topic, but
yeah, but it's really cool. I mean, it's in the spirit of Earth Day, you know.
Yes.
I think this is an important topic. But going on to jelly beans, because National Jelly Bean Day.
What a great transition from Earth Day to jelly beans.
Hey, listen, I love a good jelly bean, and the fact they have all these flavors. So April 22nd is Jelly Bean Day. So, listen, pairing, yeah, you have to know what jelly beans you're going to. And who doesn't love going to those stores when you get the, you know, there's popcorn, buttered popcorn flavor.
Oh my gosh.
You can get the grapefruit, you know. So you really need to look at the flavor, right, to pair with the wine. But you're having a whole event for this.
We are. We're going to pair, do a tasting where you can taste the jelly bean and help pick out the nuances of the wine by tasting the jelly beans. So we're going to do a pairing, and of course we'll do something fun like guess the number of jelly beans in a jar and for prizes.
And win the jar.
Or, that's a good idea. Maybe that's the ultimate prize, is you win the jelly bean jar.
They used to do that at conferences where they're like, whatever jelly bean you picked up, whatever color it is, that's your personality type. And I'm like, well, that could be interesting. I don't know. It's like a psychologist do that, and I stay away.
Don't analyze me.
I already know I'm weird. It's okay. I've accepted it a long time ago. But
exactly.
No, but it's cool. But I think this is a really good way to learn about pairings. I mean,
correct.
Through candy.
Correct. Plus, it just helps you, because like when you read a description of a particular wine, like our Grenache, when I talk about it, I say it has ripe strawberry or a bit of cherry or mulled cherry notes to it. People have a hard time understanding, what does that mean? Because it's so subtle in the wine, but you're picking up those notes. Well, if you taste a cherry jelly bean and you get that on your mind and your taste buds, and then you taste the wine and I say, can you pick up that cherry note to it? They can make that connection a little bit easier. And hopefully they'll,
very cool.
Yeah, hopefully they'll remember that. So the jelly beans are kind of fun to try and, you know, discern the different tastes that you have in wine.
I love this. So you've got collage, you're celebrating Earth Day. You've got jelly beans and Earth Day happening. You've got collage making, right? Which is cool. But then we were talking about Viognier, but I didn't know that there was an actual International Viognier Day. So
yes.
I think you need to go, you know, nudge that.
Maybe we are going to do, Kurt, the winemaker, we'll have a little discussion and tasting special with people that register for that on Viognier Day. Maybe we'll bring up some samples from the barrels, the Viognier barrels, and have them taste it when it's not quite ready, so they can taste the difference between a, like you did. You tasted
Yeah,
it when
it's
it wasn't
fascinating.
quite, yeah, it's not quite ready. And you can tell when we talked about it what's not quite ready about it. And then you taste a finished vignette and see the difference between the transition of how wine evolves as it ages.
It's
Yeah.
fascinating. It truly is. So, in the spirit of International Viognier Day, tell us a little bit about what Viognier is as a wine. Like, where does Viognier come from? Where's the varietals, roots come from?
Right.
Since we're talking
So,
about grafting too.
yeah, Viognier is a Rhone varietal. So it's from the Rhone Valley of France is where it gets its origins. And it's a type of grape. So it like Chardonnay, like Rhone and other white wine. It's a white grape. And it grows really well in our terroir. And you'll see Viognier grown in New York, I believe, and Pennsylvania. It does, but it tastes very different than our southwestern Viognier grown in our area. And what's fun about this grape is, and it's the only white grape we grow, but we do it, we can produce two different styles, at least, well, we have three different styles of Viognier. So when we produce it in stainless steel, with no oak influences, it picks up this, like a Sauvignon Blanc, a very steely kind of citrusy notes to it. But then when we put it in our oak barrels and age it in oak, it picks up a little bit of the butteriness, not a heavy butter like a California Chardonnay, oak Chardonnay, but it picks up those nuances of oak, which is really exciting. But you typically get more citrusy, and Viognier can be a very floral in the nose. It has a wonderful aroma to it. So, yeah, it's a fun grape.
It is. It's delicious.
And it's
All I can say is
delicious.
it's delicious. And am I right that your barrels come from overseas? Like, you don't get your barrels locally? Like, you.
I don't know. We get them. We use a lot of American oak, and they come from, we use French oak. And for our Grenache, primarily, and some of our Viognier might be on French oak, but mostly our Grenache. And what we do is we buy the wood from certain forests in France, and the wood is shipped over, not a whole barrel. So we have the actual barrel made in Missouri at our cooper, but the French oak gets shipped to Missouri. They make the barrel there to our specifications before we get it out in Arizona. So yeah, we get French oak, we get Missouri oak, Minnesota oak, Pennsylvania oak from all over. Because every forest, just like grapevines, every forest, the wood of trees grown there will have, the wood will have a different flavor profile because of their terroir. So a northern oak barrel will be very different than a southern, or a northern oak will be very different than a southern oak. And it imparts different flavors to the wine.
We're going to have to do more on this. I feel like I need to go see your cooping person. Your coop, is it a
Cooper,
cooper? Your
yeah,
coop?
a Cooper, someone
And
that
there's a
makes
last name
barrels.
Cooper, so it's going to be
That's
from that
correct.
heritage. Okay, so I want to go see a cooper because I've never seen a barrel being, I never even thought of it. Like,
Oh, it's
now I need to go
fascinating.
see.
You need to do that. You need to do that.
Well, if it's in Missouri, there's wine out there too.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, they actually made, is it stone? Oh, I can't stand it that I can't remember it right off the top. Stone
I don't know.
something. It's a winery out there in Missouri. It was on our shows like when we first started years ago.
Okay.
And they had the Norton grape. And what's fascinating, and everyone stay tuned for July. We're doing a wine across America. But and I'll see
Yay.
if I can call them. Yeah, maybe we'll need to go do a detour. We're not far. Their Norton grape, during Prohibition, they literally came out and tore down vineyards, which is
Right.
just it's
Right.
appalling. You
Yeah.
need It's appalling what they did to farmers.
Right.
I think I would be standing with a club or something at the front gate going, hell no. But they did. And what happened is their vineyard was actually planted during the Civil War era, the Moroccan
Wow.
grapes. They managed to keep this one for some reason, for some, I don't know
Wow.
how, but they missed this one part, and that vine is still growing today. Isn't that
Oh, I
pretty
love
amazing?
that. That is amazing. Yes,
That's a cool
yes.
story. So, everyone, it's Stone something, Stonehill. Anyway,
Okay.
they're good wine. They're good wine. They're good winemakers. But
Fabulous.
I think whatever you can do, don't ever let prohibition happen
No,
again. I mean, other
never,
things are
never.
getting wonky in the world, but that is one thing we do not want to have happen,
Right,
you know. But
right.
my gosh, all the work that you guys do. So, let's get back to happy conversations.
Yeah.
That's a horrible thing to talk about. Okay, you're going back to some more charcuterie. Oh, and everyone, this is an early April. You're doing another
Yes.
charcuterie making class. And so
Well,
I love
yeah.
this. And yeah, so what I will do is everyone in the show notes, I'm going to link to Peggy's tips on charcuterie boards as well, because we're really getting to that season, especially if you're in Arizona, where outdoors, poolside time, that's what you want to do, isn't it? It's just hang
Right.
outside
Oh
and
gosh, yeah. It's a great time to, people want to eat lighter, starting with here in the spring, I think, or snacking more, instead of having, huge heavy meals. And that's like the recipe that I included and wanted to talk about. It's a wonderful salad that I think celebrates a lot of the spring, bounty that we're starting to get here in Arizona with lemons and oranges and things like that. But it's a Caribbean salad that I make with a honey lime dressing, which is just absolutely incredible and has pineapple and mandarin oranges, dried cranberry, cilantro. And if you don't like cilantro, you don't have to put it in. And the dressing and I hope people make their own dressing. It's so easy to make dressing. I keep mason jars around, which are perfect to do a dressing in.
And
So,
shake it.
because you can shake it up and emulsify everything so easy. So don't make a big deal out of it, but make your own dressing. So this dressing has a little honey, some apple cider vinegar, a little fresh lime. You want to squeeze a fresh lime in there, a little canola oil, diced onion, and then salt and pepper and shake it up. I mean, how simple of a recipe for a dressing is that?
I love
And
that you put some onion in there too. I love my onion and garlic. I could live on. The salad itself, you also use black beans in there, right? Which is really good
you
for you.
can. Oh gosh, yeah, drain and canned, so drain your canned bean. You can rinse it if you want to get anything of the salt that they, because sometimes they can be a bit salty. So yeah, dry it and then toss that in to make it just that. Or if you don't want to do the black beans and you have some rotisserie chicken left over from the night before, toss that in the chicken. Or if you want to saute up some shrimp and put that in it, that would be awesome in this salad too. So it's versatile and easy, and just I think it's a great celebration of spring.
I
And of
love
course,
good salads. Listen, we got to get past this iceberg stuff. I mean,
correct.
I try to feed raccoons and they said no to the iceberg. They want Peggy salad. Like they said no. You know, I know you're not supposed to be feeding raccoons in your backyard, but anyway, that's a whole other story. I don't care. But you know, so they said no. Like we
And
they
I suggest a butter lettuce. Try different lettuces.
Ooh.
There's so many different kinds of lettuce. And this is butter lettuce, which is very delicate and just has a wonderful taste. Of course, that's what I also use for my Chinese
Yeah. Those little
for
roll ups, those little sprinkly
Yes,
kind of
yes,
things.
yes, 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 yes. But
Oh,
it's
but
just,
oh, it's good.
yeah. Lettuce wraps is what I was trying to think about.
Oh,
I
there you go.
was,
There's the word. I
yep.
was like spring rolls, but they're not being cooked. But with
No.
the butter lettuce is so cool because it kind of keeps growing in your fridge when you get it in that kind of
Right. If you
Tupperware
keep
thing.
it,
So,
yeah, if
yeah.
you get it on the root, I just put it in the refrigerator and it it lasts. So I would pair this salad with a Chardonnay, would be
Okay.
nice, or the Viognier, like we were talking about, but not one that's heavy oak. So you want something that is a Chardonnay that has a light oakiness to it. Of course, our 2017 Grenache would be beautiful with this salad if you wanted to go with a red wine. Or choose a rosé, a nice crisp rosé, maybe more medium-bodied rosé would be beautiful with this kind of a salad. But
What a perfect dish for Earth Day, because
yes.
it's even using the black beans, it's like, okay, watching our meat footprint, that kind
Yeah.
of thing. So it's, for one day, we don't have to eat meat every single day. That's what I love about the reducitarian lifestyle is instead of eating meat every day, take 1 or 2 days where you don't. And it helps
Correct.
the earth and it helps our bodies. And so I think you can put the chicken or the shrimp, but I'm just saying for Earth Day, it would be cool to just do that,
And you don't have to cook anything. You don't have to turn on the stove. You don't
I
have
like
to,
that.
it's something you can cook, put together while you're sitting on the patio at the patio table.
And have wine while you're doing it.
Of course, you got to have the
Yes.
wine with it. It's perfect
Well, and
pairing.
also Mother's Day is coming up. So I know it isn't that, weren't we just in snow and ice? Like, how did this
I
happen?
know. I know.
Mother's Day
Yep.
coming up. This is, something you can do that shows you didn't just grab a bag of salad and put it in a bowl. So
Correct. Correct.
yeah,
You don't need to
anyone
do
can do
that.
this. All ages can do this. Yes,
Yes,
I can do it.
exactly. You can do this.
I can do it. If I can do it, anyone can do it. So I think that is a fantastic thing. The other thing I was going to say with Mother's Day coming up, I know that you do a lot of women's, gatherings and events. And I would just say a mother-daughter, wine tasting experience has got to be, and you could bring the boys in too, I suppose. But you know what I mean? It's kind of a nice
Oh,
way to have the women of the family, all generations, aunts, grandmas, bring them all together for a little wine tasting where it's something of an experience instead of, well, did you know so and so did this in the family? Let's not do that on Mother's Day. Let's celebrate joy. And
right.
so I would say wine is a good start.
Right, exactly. Or, cook together. Everyone,
Yeah.
don't just bring a dish. Cook something together. There's something
Oh.
about making things together. Builds community, builds relationships. You open up a little bit more. So yeah, I've just put together a pretty stocked calendar of events through the year, and it's not just about, oh my gosh, how do we get people into the tasting room?
Sure.
We're all about creating community. And being a place where people come and relax and be able to share information and meet new friends. It's amazing how many of our wine club members love to come to events because they've connected with other wine club members, and it's a great way to see and have friendships grow.
Yeah. Now the list of events is up on your website for everyone, right? So if everyone goes
Almost,
to
almost.
ldvwinery.com.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so go there and check that out and keep up. Get the newsletter. I love your newsletters. I mean, you
Thank
guys
you.
always have a lot, recipes, what's going on in the vineyard, all of that. So when you're on the website, go sign up for that. And of course, social media is great. But I think you're really right about the community part because I think Europe really is teaching us too to sit down, break bread. Dinner
Yes.
is not just throw it down and go. It is like, let's sit down, have a conversation, doing something, an activity like the collages, like the, it gives, you're learning something, but in a very fun
Correct.
environment. And
Correct.
that's what wine tasting and eating together is about. It's about slowing down, and it is Stress Awareness Month again. So this is another way to reduce some stress. I mean, if you're getting frustrated at work, go paint and collage and drink wine, meet new people, and somehow you'll realize what you're stressing over may not actually be the end of the world.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's not.
Yep, spend an hour out if you're doing something totally different than your normal daily activity. And it does wonders for your psyche.
Wow, this is cool. I love all these events. There's a lot. You're busy. You guys are busy at the
We're
winery,
busy.
right? Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm
we're
looking at
busy.
May. You've got paint and sip wine Wednesdays. You've got Mother's Day, where you're doing rosé, and then you have a library wine tasting and nibbles. Oh,
Yeah.
National Wine Day is May 25th. Everybody stop. Not stop drinking wine, but oh my gosh, is that a big day for you guys? I bet, huh? Over at the
Yes,
winery.
exactly. Yep.
I love that.
So
There's a go ahead.
we have fun. It's the key is having fun, you know.
I
Yeah,
love
it's a
that.
lot of hard work, but we have fun and we are making friends and it's,
That's
you know, makes you
awesome.
happy. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Peggy. We can't wait for next month. It'll be right before Mother's Day, so we can talk a little bit more about that too. And of course, get what's going on in the vineyard, find out what's happening, and get our next term of the month, the wine term of the month. I think we're going to have to make a crossword with all these terms you've given us over the last few years.
But
We'll have, I
good
love that.
idea. I like
We'll do
that. I like
that. We'll do that for winter. That's a
it.
winter project. I love it.
Yes.
Thanks
Fabulous.
so much.
All
Thanks,
righty.
Peggy.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Wine Time with Peggy show. Keep up with LDV Winery at ldvwinery.com. Keep up with Big Blend Radio at bigblendradio.com.